Welcome, audacious trailblazer, to an experience that obliterates the boundaries of what you believed was possible. This is not a gentle whisper of encouragement. It is a thunderous declaration that you possess an untapped reserve of power waiting to be unleashed. Imagine a life where every whisper of doubt is extinguished, every hesitation is crushed, and you stand resolute, eyes blazing with certainty. You're stronger than you think. Shattering the illusion of your limits is the catalyst that will ignite your neural circuitry and drive you beyond every perceived barrier. Have you ever caught yourself retreating from a challenge, telling yourself that you lack the skill, the resilience, or the sheer grit to prevail? How often have you surrendered to the convenient lie that your comfort zone defines your capabilities? It's time to dismantle that deception. Within the next 1,000 words, you will confront the science and strategies that render your past limitations obsolete. Welcome to the unflinching journey of self-mastery, where every barrier is an invitation to ascend. At the heart of this audiobook lies the groundbreaking principle of neuroplasticity, the science that reveals your brain's astonishing capacity to rewire itself. Each moment you questioned your worth, each time fear threatened to dominate, you inadvertently reinforced neural pathways of limitation. But here's the revelation. You can forge new circuits of empowerment. You will learn to harness the same principles that world-class performers and resilient survivors employ to sculpt an unbreakable mindset. You will discover how every deliberate thought reshapes your neural architecture to support courage, confidence, and unwavering action. Consider these mantras as your rallying cry. Limits, like fears, are often just an illusion. The greatest victories are born from the ruins of self-doubt. Strength is not given. It is claimed with intention. Commit these truths to memory. Let them echo in your mind, triggering an automatic surge of resolve whenever doubt creeps close. Next, we will dissect the anatomy of doubt itself. Why does your brain default to negativity in moments of stress? How can a simple shift in perception transform a perceived threat into a stepping stone? You will engage in targeted mental drills, quick, fierce exercises designed to interrupt the autopilot of defeatism and replace it with deliberate, focused action. These drills are the tools that will calibrate your mind to respond to challenges not with hesitation, but with relentless, purpose-driven intensity. Beyond rewiring thought patterns, you will tap into your brain's chemistry as a secret weapon. Understand how the surge of adrenaline can be consciously summoned to heighten your focus at critical moments. Discover how endorphins are not merely feel-good hormones, but powerful allies for sustaining momentum through pain and fatigue. You will calibrate your physiology to work in harmony with your cognition, forging a symphony of mental and physical prowess that elevates performance from ordinary to extraordinary. Every intentional action becomes a brick in the fortress of your renewed identity. Embrace this journey with fierce, unflinching, full commitment. In this transformative odyssey, action is your compass. You will not simply listen, you will engage. Each chapter ends with a specific power drill, a concise, no-excuse challenge that forces you to confront your doubts head-on. From cold exposure routines that prove your resilience to high-intensity focus sprints that banish procrastination, these drills are engineered to accelerate your evolution. Remember, a tiger doesn't ask permission, it takes what it wants. Let that ethos guide your execution. But transformation is not a solo endeavor. You will be guided by real-life accounts of individuals who shattered their own glass ceilings. From the entrepreneur who turned bankruptcy into a launchpad for a multi-million-dollar enterprise, to the athlete who overcame career-ending injuries to redefine excellence, their stories illuminate the path you are about to walk. These narratives are living testimonies that no barrier is insurmountable when the mind is properly primed. Imagine the euphoria of standing atop a summit you once thought unreachable. Picture the surge of confidence as you rewrite the narrative of your life, paragraph by paragraph, fueled by unshakable belief. The road ahead will test. Chapter 1. The lie of I can't. Slaying the coward in your head. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Henry Ford. You've been lied to your entire life. And the worst part is, you're the one telling the lie. You sit there, clutching your doubts like a security blanket, whispering, I can't. As if it's a prayer. As if it's a fact. But here's the raw truth. You don't get to hide behind those two words anymore. Not here. Not now. Not ever. Because I can't is not a statement. It's a confession. A confession of cowardice. A surrender to the weakest version of yourself. You think you're being humble. You think you're being realistic. But you're just being a traitor to your own potential. Every time that phrase slithers out of your mouth, you're not admitting a limit. You're building one brick by brick with your own trembling hands. You're constructing a prison where the walls are made of fear, and the locks are forged by laziness. And the worst part is, you've convinced yourself it's a sanctuary. Let me rip off the blindfold. You don't have a can't problem. You have a won't problem. You won't, because it's hard. You won't because it's uncomfortable. You won't because you'd rather rot in the familiar hell of mediocrity than risk the temporary chaos of growth you cling to. I can't like a mantra, because it absolves you of responsibility. Because if you can't, then you don't have to try. Then you don't have to face the terrifying truth that maybe, just maybe, you're capable of far more than you've ever dared to imagine. But that's too much, isn't it? That's too bright, too loud, too real. So you retreat into the shadow of I can't, and call it wisdom, call it self-awareness, call it anything. But what it really is, a betrayal. You want proof. Look at the wreckage of your own life, the dreams you abandoned, because I can't. The relationships you let die, because I can't. The opportunities you watched slip away, because I can't. That's not life. That's a slow suicide. And you're the one holding the knife every time you mutter those words. You're not protecting yourself. You're murdering your future in cold blood. You're not a victim of circumstance. You're a volunteer, a collaborator in your own diminishment. And the tragedy is, you've done it so long, you've forgotten you ever had a choice. Let's dissect this lie piece by piece, because that's what it is, a lie. Not a fact. Not a law of nature, a lie. You've been gaslit by your own mind, convinced that your limits are fixed when they're fluid, that your capabilities are static when they're explosive. The human brain isn't designed to be caged. It's designed to adapt, to rewire, to conquer. You think ancient humans survived by whispering, I can't when faced with a saber-toothed tiger. No, they roared and fought and clawed their way to survival. And you're their descendant carrying the same primal fire in your DNA. So what's your excuse? This isn't philosophy. It's biology. Your neurons, your muscles, your very cells are built to stretch beyond what you think is possible every time you lift a weight, run a mile, learn a skill. You're not just training your body. You're proving to your mind that can't is a fiction, a weak story. You tell yourself to avoid the sweat and the grind and the glorious discomfort of becoming more. The moment you say, I can't, you're not describing reality. You're enforcing a limit. You're not a prophet of your potential. You're its jailer. And don't you dare hide behind false humility. Don't you dare say, I'm just being realistic. Because realism is for spectators, not for warriors. Realism is what people preach when they've given up on their own greatness and want to drag you down with them. Realism is the anthem of the defeated, the hymn of the mediocre. You weren't born to be realistic. You were born to be relentless, to tear through barriers, to redefine what's possible. Every revolutionary, every icon, every person who ever changed the world was told, "You can't," and they responded with, "Watch me. Here's how you kill this coward once and for all." First, you stop negotiating with it. You don't debate. "I can't." You destroy it. You replace it with, "I will," even if your voice shakes, even if your knees buckle. You say it until your soul believes it. Second, you act before you're ready, because readiness is a myth. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's the decision that your purpose matters more than your panic. Third, you embrace the suck. You welcome the pain, the frustration, the moments when every cell in your body screams to quit, because that's where growth lives. Not in the glow of victory, but in the grit of the fight. You think Henry Ford was talking about cars when he said, "Whether you think you can or you think you can't." You're right. No. He was talking about you, about the war in your mind, about the choice to either crown yourself a champion or dig your own grave with the shovel of self-doubt. There's no middle ground, no safe zone. You're either building empires with your courage or digging ditches with your excuses, and the clock is ticking. The world doesn't care about your can'ts. It rewards action or it crushes hesitation. Those are your only options. So here's your ultimatum. Either you kill "I can't" today, or it kills you tomorrow, strangles your dreams in their sleep, buries your potential in an unmarked grave. The choice is yours. But choose fast, because weakness isn't forgiven by time. It's magnified by it every day you tolerate this. Lie is a day you sanction your own surrender. So stand up right now and say it loud. "I can say it again. I can scream it until the walls of your prison shake, until the coward in your head cowers in the corner." And then march into the battle of your life with those words as your war cry. You are not your doubts. You are not your fears. You are a force that refuses to be contained. Now, act like it. Chapter 2. Fear is a fraud. Burn the illusion. The only thing to fear is fear itself. Franklin D. Roosevelt. Fear is not your guardian. It is your jailer, and you have handed it the keys to your life without a fight. You have let it whisper lies into your ears until you mistake its poison for wisdom. You have allowed it to dress itself in the robes of reason, to posture as logic, to sell you the delusion that it exists to protect you. But let me strip that lie bare. Fear does not protect you. It paralyzes you. It does not guide you. It gaslights you. It does not keep you safe. It keeps you small. And you have mistaken its chains for armor, its prison for a sanctuary. You have bowed to its tyranny and called it prudence. But I am here to tell you that fear is a fraud, a con artist, a thief in the night stealing your dreams, while you sleepwalk through your own existence. And if you do not wake up now, if you do not rise up and burn this illusion to ash, you will die a slow death in the cage it built for you, a cage you convinced yourself was home. You say fear keeps you from danger, but what danger is greater than a life unlived? What risk is more catastrophic than the rot of regret? Fear does not save you from pain. It guarantees it, the pain of stagnation, the agony of what if, the torture of watching your best self wither in the shadows while you cling to the familiar misery of your comfort. You think lions stalk their prey by calculating every possible failure, by obsessing over every claw that might break or every chase that might end in defeat. No, they hunt because hunger demands it, instinct drives it. Survival requires it, the hunger, to strive, to conquer. But fear has convinced you to kneel, to apologize for your own teeth, to blunt your claws on the altar of conformity, to trade your roar for a whimper. And you call this survival. You call this living. I call it a funeral for the soul. Let me be clear. Fear is not a feeling. It is a fiction, a story you tell yourself to justify cowardice, a narrative you spin to avoid the terrifying responsibility of your own power. You say, I can't, when what you mean is, I won't. You say, it's too risky, when what you mean is, I'm too weak. You dress your surrender in the language of rationality, but there is nothing rational about letting a ghost govern your life. Nothing logical about serving a master that exists only in your mind. Fear has no body, no breath, no heartbeat. It is a shadow, and shadows dissolve in light. Step into the fire of action and watch it burn. Stare into the abyss of uncertainty and laugh as it stares back, paralyzed by its own emptiness. You think courage is the absence of fear, but courage is the decision to act in spite of it. To march into the storm with your eyes wide open, knowing the wind will howl, the rain will sting, but you will not stop, you will not bend, you will not let a mirage dictate your destiny. Every great life, every legacy worth remembering, was forged in the furnace of fear, but not by those who ran from it, by those who walked through it, who let it scorch their skin and melt their doubts into resolve. The athlete who pushes past the scream of muscles begging to quit. The entrepreneur who risks everything while the world mumbles failure. The artist who bleeds their truth onto the canvas while critics sharpen their knives. These are not the fearless. They are the fearless enough to admit they are terrified and do it anyway. They understand that fear is not a wall. It is a doorway. And on the other side, is the version of yourself you have been too afraid to meet, the version that does not apologize, does not negotiate, does not settle, the version that thrives in the chaos, that thrives because of it. You want growth, you want freedom, you want power. Then stop worshipping at the altar of safety. Safety is a myth sold to the masses to keep them docile, to keep them chasing pensions instead of purpose, routines instead of revolutions. You were not born to pay bills and die. You were born to burn bright, to leave scars on the universe, to laugh in the face of the odds. But you cannot do that while kneeling to fear. You cannot do that while letting it write your story. The moment you feel fear's grip tighten, that is your signal to move, to strike, to refuse its bargain. Fear gains strength from hesitation, from the pause between thought and action. It feeds on your indecision, your maybe tomorrow, your just one more day. But tomorrow is a graveyard of good intentions, and one more day is the mantra of the damned. You want to kill fear. Act now. Act recklessly. Act as if your life depends on it, because it does. Every second you wait, fear's roots grow deeper, its voice grows louder, its lies become your truth. But here is the secret. Fear cannot survive action. It cannot breathe in the space between your decision and your doing. It thrives in the abstract, in the what if, but crumples in the face of the what is. You are not afraid of failure. You are afraid of the story you've attached to it, the shame, the judgment, the imaginary catastrophe your mind has manufactured. But failure is a teacher, not an executioner. It is a detour, not a dead end. And every time you risk failing, you rob fear of its power. You rewrite the narrative. You prove that you are not a puppet of your emotions, but a warrior of your will. You say fear is rational, but where is the rationality in letting a hypothetical tragedy rob you of a guaranteed triumph? Where is the logic in sacrificing your dreams to avoid a pain you might never feel? You are not avoiding risk. You are guaranteeing regret. You are not playing it safe. You are committing slow suicide, and the world will not mourn you. It will forget you, because the world remembers those who defy, not those who deny. History is not written by the cautious. It is written by the ones who stared into the void and said, "Watch me," who treated fear not as a stop sign, but as a starting line. You have a choice. You can let fear dictate your limits, or you can set fire to those limits and watch them turn to dust. You can let it whisper, "You're not enough," or you can roar back, "I am more than enough," and keep roaring until the echo of your voice drowns out its lies. Let me leave you with this. Fear is a paper tiger, all growl and no teeth. It preys on the permission you give it, the attention you feed it, the power you surrender to it. But today, that ends. Today, you stop negotiating with terror. You stop begging for its approval. You stop living as if your destiny is a democracy, where fear gets a vote. It doesn't. It never did. The only vote that matters is yours. The only voice that matters is the one that says move, fight, rise, burn the illusion, and let the ashes fertilize the future you were born to claim. Chapter 3. Comfort zones are graveyards. Rot here or rise. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Neil Donald Walsh. You think that couch is safe, don't you? That routine is protecting you? That familiar numbness is a friend? Let me gut that delusion right here, right now. Comfort is not safety. Comfort is not peace. Comfort is a slow, suffocating rot. A poison that masquerades as warmth while it hollows you out from the inside. Every minute you spend clinging to what's easy, what's known, what's predictable. You are digging your own grave with the shovel of complacency. That cozy bed? A tomb. That predictable job? A chainsaw cutting down your potential. That fear of risk? A life sentence to mediocrity. You were not born to play small, to shrink into the shadows of your own excuses, to let your dreams fossilize under the weight of maybe tomorrow. Wake up. Your comfort zone is a lie. A gilded cage you've mistaken for a sanctuary. And if you don't smash its bars, you will die there, buried alive by your own cowardice. Do you think greatness is forged in the lukewarm waters of routine? Do you think innovation blooms in the sterile soil of predictability? History laughs at your delusion. Every legend, every breakthrough, every empire was built by those who chose the storm over the shelter, who embraced the chaos of the unknown over the suffocating safety of the familiar. The Wright brothers didn't invent flight by staring at the ground. Marie Curie didn't discover radium by clinging to what was already known. Elon Musk didn't reshape industries by obeying the rules of how things are done. They all stepped into the fire. They all chose discomfort as their compass. And here you are, clinging to your couch, your Netflix, your excuses, as if stagnation were a virtue. Pathetic. Growth doesn't happen in the glow of a screen or the echo chamber of your routine. It happens when you're sweating, when you're trembling, when you're so far out of your depth that failure feels inevitable. And then you push harder. Let me be clear. Your comfort zone is not a place. It's a prison. A psychological quicksand designed to keep you docile, predictable, and utterly ordinary. The job you hate, but won't leave because it's stable. A cell. The relationship you tolerate because it's easier than being alone. Shackles. The dreams you've buried because they're unrealistic. A self-imposed death sentence. You're not playing it safe. You're committing spiritual suicide. Every time you choose comfort over courage, you're signing a contract with regret. And let me tell you, regret doesn't knock politely when you're old and frail. It screams in your face every night, in the silence between your shallow breaths, reminding you of the life you traded for an illusion of security. You think you're avoiding pain. Number, you're stockpiling it. The pain of unfulfilled potential is a cancer, and it will eat you alive. Here's the truth you've been avoiding. Discomfort is not the enemy. It's the gateway. The moment your palms sweat, your heart races, and your mind screams, abort mission. That's the threshold. That's where life begins. That's where you discover what you're made of. You want transformation. You want power. You want a life that doesn't fit into a hashtag or a highlight reel. Then you must learn to love the grind, the chaos, the uncertainty. Marathon runners don't collapse at the finish line because it's comfortable. They do it because they've learned to dance with pain, to see it as a partner, not a predator. Entrepreneurs don't build empires by following a manual. They burn the manual and write a new one in the ashes of their failures. Discomfort is the price of admission to a life that matters. Pay it or get out of the line. Let's dissect your excuses, shall we? I'm not ready. Ready? You think anyone is ever ready to change their life? Ready is a fairy tale, a bedtime story for cowards. You leap and you figure it out on the way down. What if I fail? What if you don't? What if you spend the rest of your life wondering what could have been? Failure is a teacher. Regret is a torturer. Choose wisely. It's too late. Too late? Tell that to Colonel Sanders, who founded KFC at 65. Tell that to Grandma Moses, who started painting at 78. Tell that to your own soul, which is begging you to stop using time as an excuse and start using it as fuel. Your comfort zone is a liar. It tells you that risk is the enemy when, in reality, the true enemy is the version of you that's too scared to try. You want a metaphor? Fine. Imagine your comfort zone as a warm, cozy coffin. Soft pillows, satin lining, the faint hum of your favorite playlist. It's dark, but familiar. Safe. Now imagine the lid slamming shut. That's your life if you stay here. You'll suffocate slowly, gasping for air, but too numb to notice. Now imagine clawing your way out, splinters under your nails, blood on your hands, lungs burning. That's life. That's freedom. That's what it means to rise. You think the coffin is your refuge? It's your executioner. Every day you stay curled in that fetal position of complacency. You're letting fear embalm you alive. Break out. Now, before the dirt settles. Still not convinced? Let's talk biology. Your brain is wired for efficiency, not greatness. It craves routine because routine conserves energy. But here's the catch. Your brain is also plastic. It adapts. It grows, but only when forced. When you lift weights, you tear muscle fibers so they rebuild stronger. When you study, you forge new neural pathways. When you face fear, you rewire your amygdala to see challenge as opportunity, not threat. Comfort is the enemy of evolution. You're either stretching, striving, and evolving, or you're atrophying. There is no middle ground. That tingling fear you feel when you consider a bold move. That's not a stop sign. It's a green light. It's your body's way of saying, this is where the magic happens. Ignore it, and you'll spend your life as a fossil. Embrace it, and you'll become a force of nature. Let's get practical. How do you escape the graveyard? First, admit you're in one. Audit your life. What routines are you clinging to out of fear? What relationships are you tolerating out of lethargy? What dreams are you suffocating because they're too much work? Write them down. Then burn the list, metaphorically or literally, I don't care. Just destroy the old script. Next, start small but ruthless. Replace 1 hour of scrolling with 1 hour of learning. Swap complaining for strategizing. Trade excuses for action. And when the panic hits, and it will, breathe. Then keep going. Discomfort is not a sign you're doing it wrong. It's proof you're doing it right. Finally, surround yourself with lunatics. People who scare you with their ambition. people who make your current goals look like child's play. Let their energy infect you. Let their audacity shame you into greatness. This is your crossroads, rot or rise, the grave or the grind. The choice isn't coming. It's here. Now, today. And if you choose comfort, don't kid yourself. You're not playing it safe. You're signing your own death warrant. But if you choose the storm, if you dare to step into the chaos, you'll find something extraordinary waiting on the other side. Yourself. The version you were meant to be. The version that doesn't apologize for existing. The version that terrifies the old you. So what's it gonna be? The coffin or the climb? The answer will define your entire life. Chapter 4. Failure is fuel. Let it burn your excuses. I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. Thomas Edison. Failure is not a dead end. It is a detour carved into the bones of every legend who refused to kneel. Let me be clear. If you are still flinching at the word failure, you are already losing. The world does not coddle the timid. It devours them. Thomas Edison did not stumble upon the light bulb by clinging to safe, predictable choices. He embraced the scorching truth that every explosion, every shattered filament, every hissed criticism from doubters was a roadmap to what worked. He did not beg for forgiveness when his experiments burned to ash. He did not whimper. Maybe I'm not cut out for this. Number. He stared into the wreckage and said, "This is how I learn." You think your failures are unique? You think your stumbles are a sign of weakness? Wrong. Your failures are the raw material of your reinvention. Stop romanticizing your excuses. Burn them. The coward says, "I failed because I'm not good enough." The warrior says, "I failed because I didn't dig deep enough." See the difference? One is a funeral dirge, the other is a battle cry. Every time you label a setback as proof of your inadequacy, you spit on the graves of those who rose from worse. You think the Wright brothers wept when their early prototypes crashed? Number. They studied the fractures. They measured the wind. They dissected the wreckage like surgeons. Failure is not a verdict. It is a teacher. But you must be ruthless enough to sit in its classroom. You must be hungry enough to swallow its lessons whole. Most people aren't. Most people would rather nurse their wounds than let the scars toughen their skin. Which are you? Let me break this down for you. Every mistake you've ever made is a breadcrumb trail to mastery. Every humiliation, every rejection, every moment you choked under pressure, these are not stains on your legacy. They are the forge where your legacy is hammered into existence. The problem isn't failure itself. The problem is your refusal to mine it for gold. You collect setbacks like a victim collecting grievances. Stop it. Start treating failure like a scientist treats data. Cold, objective, invaluable. That project that crashed? Dissect it. That relationship that imploded? Autopsy it. That dream that slipped through your fingers? Reverse engineer it. There is no such thing as a dead end unless you choose to lie down in the rubble. You want to know why losers stay losers. They weaponize failure against themselves. They let it fester into shame. They whisper, "See? I knew I couldn't do it." But winners strip failure of its power. They turn it into a mirror, forcing themselves to confront what they could have done differently. They ask, "What did this teach me?" instead of, "Why does this always happen to me?" Victimhood is a narcotic. It numbs you to your own agency. Mastery is a blade. It demands you bleed for the truth. Which will you choose? Here's a hard truth. If you're not failing, you're not aiming high enough. Comfort is the enemy of evolution. The moment you stop stumbling is the moment you stop growing. Look at the greats, athletes, inventors, artists. They don't cling to perfection. They chase progress. Michael Jordan missed over 9,000 shots in his career. J.K. Rowling was rejected by 12 publishers. Henry Ford went bankrupt 5 times. You think they wallowed in self-pity? Number. They let failure sharpen their hunger. They understood that every no was a step closer to a yes that would shake the world. You, though, you're still clutching your first rejection letter like it's a death sentence. Let it go. Let it fuel you. Let me be blunt. Your excuses are a landfill, and failure is the match. You say, I don't have time. Failure laughs. You say, I'm not ready. Failure scoffs. You say, what if I embarrass myself? Failure roars. What if you don't try at all? You think playing it safe will spare you pain? Wrong. Regret is a far heavier burden than failure. The perfect plan you're clinging to? It's a coffin. The universe rewards action, not deliberation. Edison didn't wait for a guarantee. He built the guarantee through 10,000 iterations. You're waiting for permission. Stop it. The only permission you need is the fire in your gut. You want a formula? Here it is. Fail faster. Fail harder. Fail forward. Collect the data. Adjust. Repeat. The road to greatness is paved with the debris of half-baked attempts and glorious disasters. But you? You're still hesitating. You're still asking, what if I fall? Let me answer. You will fall. You will faceplant. You will taste dirt. And then, if you're worth your salt, you'll rise, wipe the blood from your lips, and say, what's next? Failure is not your enemy. Complacency is. The clock is ticking. The world isn't waiting for you to feel ready. Burn your excuses. Let the ashes propel you. Chapter 5. Your mind is a war zone. Choose your weapons. Quote, what does not kill me makes me stronger. Friedrich Nietzsche, your mind is not a sanctuary. It is a war zone. Every second of every day, battles rage in the silence between your ears. And the stakes are not metaphors. They are your life, your future, your legacy. You stand at the crossroads of two armies, one armed with the poison of victimhood, the other forged in the fire of victory. There is no middle ground here, no ceasefire, no demilitarized zone. You are either advancing or retreating. You are either building empires of grit or digging graves for your potential. The quote, what does not kill me makes me stronger, is not a platitude. It is a war cry. Nietzsche did not scribble those words for your Instagram bio. He carved them into the bones of human suffering to remind you that weakness is a choice and strength is the blade you sharpen. With every blow, life lands on you. Your thoughts are bullets or armor. Let that sink in. Every word you whisper to yourself in the dark, every excuse you cradle like a child, every lie you swallow about your own inadequacy. These are not passive reflections. They are live ammunition. A single thought can detonate your confidence, shred your resolve, and leave you bleeding out on the battlefield of your own making. Or it can fortify you, deflect the arrows of doubt, and propel you forward when your knees buckle. The choice is yours, but do not delude yourself. There is no neutral. Neutrality is death. To refuse to pick a side is to side with the enemy. To hesitate is to surrender. Victimhood is a seductive poison. It whispers to you in the voice of a friend, wrapping its arms around your shoulders as it feeds you lies. You've suffered enough. The world owes you. It's not your fault. It dresses cowardice in the robes of righteousness, turning your pain into a monument instead of a stepping stone. But let me gut that illusion here and now. Victimhood is not a wound. It is a weapon you wield against yourself. It is the Stockholm syndrome of the soul, bonding you to your own suffering. You think you're honoring your scars by clinging to them. Number. You're letting them rot. Victory does not ask for your trauma resume. It demands your courage. It does not care how many times you've been knocked down. It cares how many times you clawed your way back up. The battlefield is your skull. Look around. The terrain is littered with the corpses of abandoned dreams, the shrapnel of half-hearted efforts, the craters left by the bombs of other people's opinions. You navigate this chaos daily, yet you act as though it's a playground. Wake up. This is not a drill. The enemy is not out there. It is the part of you that still believes you're not enough, the voice that hisses, "Who do you think you are?" when you dare to aim higher. That voice is not your conscience. It is a saboteur. It is not trying to protect you. It is trying to paralyze you. And every second you spend negotiating with it is a second you've handed victory to fear. Arm yourself with grit or bleed out on excuses. Grit is not a personality trait. It is a discipline. It is the raw, unpretty act of showing up when every cell in your body screams to quit. It is choosing to run the extra mile when your lungs burn, to write the damn paragraph when your mind blanks, to silence the chorus of "I can't" with a roar of "Watch me." Excuses, on the other hand, are the bullets your weakness fires into your own spine. Too tired, too old, too broke, too broken. These are not reasons. They are surrender papers. You think warriors win because they feel ready? Number. They win because they decide, in the teeth of the storm, that failure is not an exit. It's fuel. No neutrality here. This is not a philosophy seminar. It's a war. There are no bystanders in your mind. Only combatants. Every thought recruits you into one army or the other. Every decision, to press snooze or rise, to scroll or study, to blame or build, is a tactical move. You are not overthinking. You are underfighting. You are not stressed. You are underprepared. The moment you stop seeing your mind as a battleground is the moment you lose it to occupation. The enemy does not sleep. It does not take vacations. It feeds on your passivity, grows fat on your indecision. Fight. Not tomorrow. Not when you're ready. Now, fight with the ferocity of someone who knows their life depends on it, because it does. Fight the urge to cave to comfort. Fight the addiction to pity. Fight the nostalgia for a smaller version of yourself. Your mind is not a democracy. It is a dictatorship, and you must rule it with an iron fist. Let every failure be a lesson in strategy. Let every doubt be a signal to reload. Let every scar be a medal. You were not born to negotiate with weakness. You were born to storm the gates of your own limitations, to plant your flag in the rubble of every barrier, and to declare, with every ragged breath, "Is that all you've got?" The war does not end. There is no armistice, no retirement plan. You will wake up tomorrow, and the battlefield will still be there. The difference between the strong and the broken is not talent or luck. It's the willingness to pick up the weapon daily, to choose grit over grievance, to let every wound teach you how to survive the next blow. Nietzsche was right. What does not kill you will make you stronger, but only if you refuse to let it leave you crippled. Strength is not given, it is taken. So take it. Take. Chapter 6. Bodies break. Willpower doesn't. Outlast your weakness. Quote, "It's not the mountain we conquer, but ourselves." Edmund Hillary. You think your body is the final arbiter of your limits? You think pain is a stop sign? You think collapsing knees or trembling hands or lungs clawing for air are proof of your weakness? Let me tell you this. Your body is a liar. It is a traitor. It will beg you to quit long before your spirit has even begun to fight. Every muscle screaming for mercy is not a verdict. It is a test. A test of whether you will kneel to the temporary or rise with the eternal. Your body is a machine built to adapt, to endure, to outlast. But only if you stop coddling it like a fragile relic. The greatest athletes, warriors, and survivors of history did not triumph because they were pain-free. They won because they understood a primal truth. The mind commands, the body obeys. When your legs buckle, your will must stand taller. When your breath falters, your purpose must roar louder. Pain is not your enemy. Surrender is. The world is littered with the graves of those who let their bodies dictate their destinies. The climber who turned back 10 steps from the summit because their fingers went numb. The runner who quit the race because their chest burned. The parent who gave up on a dream because their bones ached. These are not stories of physical failure. They are monuments to mental collapse. Your body does not decide when you stop. You do. And every time you let its whimpers override your will, you engrave another epitaph on the tombstone of your potential. Edmund Hillary did not conquer Everest because his body was invincible. He conquered it because his will was untouchable. The mountain did not shrink. He grew larger. The frostbite, the thin air, the crushing fatigue. They were not obstacles. They were invitations to evolve. Let me break this down for you. Pain is a sensation. Quitting is a decision. One is biological. The other is spiritual. Your nerves will fire signals to your brain, screaming danger, screaming exhaustion, screaming impossibility. But those signals are not laws. They are suggestions. You have the power to veto them. Every time you choose to endure, you rewire your nervous system. You teach your body who is in charge. Marathoners know this. They speak of the wall, that moment when every cell in their body revolts, when logic pleads with them to stop. But those who push through it don't just finish the race. They transcend it. They discover a force within themselves that laughs at the concept of limits. That force is not physical. It is will. It is the unkillable part of you that thrives on defiance. You want to know what weakness looks like? It is not a body broken by effort. It is a spirit broken by comfort. It is the man who avoids the gym because his muscles might ache. The woman who abandons her ambition because the path is too hard. The student who quits studying because their eyes feel heavy. These are not failures of the flesh. They are betrayals of the soul. Your body is designed to break and rebuild itself stronger. Bones fracture to heal denser. Muscles tear to regrow thicker. Even your heart, that fragile organ, strengthens when pushed to its limits. But your will? Your will is not bound by biology. It is infinite. It is the spark that turns victims into victors, the fire that forges ordinary humans into legends. History is not made by those who felt good. It is made by those who refused to feel anything but purpose. Viktor Frankl survived the Holocaust, not because his body was spared suffering, but because his mind clung to meaning. Nelson Mandela endured 27 years in prison, not because his cell was comfortable, but because his vision of justice was unconfinable. Helen Keller transcended blindness and deafness, not because her senses were restored, but because her will refused to be silenced. These are not exceptions to the human condition. They are revelations of it. Suffering is universal. Perseverance is a choice. Your body will break. It will betray you. It will leave you gasping, bleeding, trembling. But your will can choose to see brokenness as a beginning, a catalyst, a rebirth. Let me be brutally clear. If you are waiting for a day when your body feels ready, you will die waiting. If you demand perfect conditions to act, you will never act. The hero's journey does not start with a warm bed and a stocked fridge. It starts in the storm, in the desert, in the trenches. Your body is not your master. It is your instrument. Treat it with respect, yes, but never with fear. Train it. push it. Demand more of it than you think it can give. And when it protests, when it threatens to shut down, look it dead in the eye and say, "Is that all you've got?" Because here's the secret your body doesn't want you to know. Its limits are imaginary, a negotiable fiction. The human body has run ultramarathons in Death Valley. It has climbed peaks without oxygen. It has survived wars, famines, and pandemics. And yet you hesitate to walk an extra mile, to work an extra hour, to fight for one more day. Weakness is not a condition. It is a concession. You are not weak because your body fails. You are weak because your mind agrees. The moment you divorce your identity from your physical state is the moment you become unstoppable. Cancer patients outlive prognosis. Paralyzed athletes summit mountains. Refugees rebuild empires. How? Because they grasped the truth you're still resisting. The body is a vessel. The will is the captain. You do not need permission to keep going. You do not need approval to endure. You need only to reject the tyranny of the temporary. So the next time your body whispers, "I can't," you scream back, "Watch me." Let your blisters become badges. Let your exhaustion become evidence. Let your pain become proof. Proof that you are alive, that you are fighting, that you are winning. Because while the world worships those with unbreakable bodies, history remembers those with unbreakable wills. Your legs may give out, your hands may bleed, your lungs may collapse. But your spirit is a force of nature. And nature does not apologize for its storms. Chapter 7. Opinions are noise. Silence the crowd. Quote, "What other people think of you is none of your business." Eleanor Roosevelt. Let me make this clear. Their opinions are not your problem. Their judgments are not your burden. Their whispers are not your script, and their doubts are not your reality. You were not put on this earth to live as a side character in someone else's story, to shrink yourself into a role that fits their expectations, to mute your voice so their insecurities feel less loud. Their words are not a compass. They are static. A chaotic buzz meant to drown out the roar of your potential. And you know this. You've always known this. Buried under layers of people-pleasing and false humility is the primal truth that you owe no one an explanation for your dreams, your choices, your fire. Yet here you are, still letting their noise dictate your moves, still pausing at the edge of greatness to ask, "But what will they think?" As if their approval is the price of admission to your own life, as if their validation is the oxygen your ambition needs to breathe. Let me dismantle that lie right now. You do not need permission to exist fully, fiercely, unapologetically. The crowd will always talk. It's what crowds do. They project their fears onto your courage, their regrets onto your risks, their stagnation onto your momentum. Their "you can't" is not a prophecy. It's a confession of their own limitations, a mirror reflecting everything they've buried to avoid facing their own mediocrity. Think about it. When someone mocks your ambition, they're really saying, "I don't believe I could do that, so I don't want you to either." When they dismiss your goals, they're admitting, "I'm too afraid to try, so your effort makes me uncomfortable." When they warn you to be realistic, they're begging, "Stay small so I don't have to confront how small I've chosen to be." This isn't about you. It never was. Their opinions are not a review of your life. They're a window into theirs, a diary of their own unhealed wounds and abandoned dreams. So why would you let ghosts haunt your future? Why let spectators who've never stepped onto your battlefield tell you how to fight? You want to know the secret to silencing the crowd? Stop listening. Stop performing. Stop editing your soul to fit their narrative. The moment you stop seeking their applause, you become free to fail, to rise, to reinvent, to outgrow every version of yourself they thought you'd cling to. Greatness doesn't negotiate with the peanut gallery. Legends aren't built by committee. Your life is not a democracy where others get a vote. It's a dictatorship. Your voice, your vision, your veto. Let that sink in. You hold absolute power over what you allow to matter. So why are you still handing the reins to strangers, co-workers, family, friends, who've never risked anything to chase what you're chasing? Let me ask you this. When you're on your deathbed, gasping for your final breath, will you regret not living up to their standards? Or will you ache for the parts of you that you abandoned to keep them comfortable? The answer is a gut punch, isn't it? You already know the truth. You've just been too polite to admit it. Well, politeness is overrated. Silence is complicity. And people-pleasing is a slow suicide. Here's the raw truth they won't tell you. The ones who love you conditionally, who demand you stay in lines they drew for you, do not love you. They love the version of you that soothes their ego, that doesn't threaten their complacency. That's not love. That's control masquerading as care. Real love, real respect, demands nothing less than your full authenticity. It roots for you even when your light burns their eyes, even when your growth exposes their stagnation. So stop conflating loyalty with obedience. Stop mistaking their comfort for your responsibility. You are not required to dim your fire to keep others warm. Not now, not ever. And if they walk away because your truth inconveniences their delusions, let them. The trash took itself out. But here's what they don't tell you. For every person who leaves your life because they can't handle your power, 10 more will arrive who've been waiting for someone brave enough to give them permission to rise too. You become a magnet for those who see your audacity and think, if they can, maybe I can. That's how revolutions start, not with crowds, but with one defiant soul who refused to apologize for existing out loud. So let them talk, let them critique, let them clutch their pearls and whisper their warnings. You've got work to do. The world isn't changed by those who wait for consensus. It's shaped by the ones who decide their conviction is louder than the cacophony of the crowd. Your legacy isn't written by the people who doubted you. It's carved by the scars you earn, ignoring them. So turn down the volume on their noise, crank up the volume on your intuition, and march. The path to greatness isn't paved with approval ratings. It's littered with the shattered opinions of those who swore you'd fail. Prove them wrong, not with words, but with a life so fiercely lived, it roars louder than their doubts ever could. Chapter 8. Unleash the Titan Within. Stop apologizing for your power. Quote, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. Marianne Williamson. You have spent your life folding yourself into smallness, carving away pieces of your soul to fit into cages built by cowards. You have apologized for your fire, dimmed your light, and traded your roar for a whisper, all to avoid making others uncomfortable with the magnitude of what you are. Let me be clear. This is not humility. This is betrayal. A betrayal of the titan that sleeps in your bones, the storm that hums in your blood, the relentless force that the universe carved into your DNA when it decided you would exist. Marianne Williamson did not say we fear our inadequacy. She said we tremble before our own power, and every time you shrink, every time you hesitate, every time you mutter sorry for existing too boldly, you confirm that fear. You kneel to it, you let it win. The world has fed you lies wrapped in gold foil. Be polite. Stay in your lane. Don't make waves. These are not virtues. They are shackles, chains forged by those terrified of what might happen if you ever realized you outmatched them. They want you docile. They need you tame. Because a titan on its knees cannot threaten the fragile kingdoms built on compliance. But here is the truth they will never admit. Your power does not require their approval. Your greatness does not need their permission. The moment you stop begging for validation is the moment you become dangerous. Dangerous to their systems. Dangerous to their hierarchies. Dangerous to the suffocating myth that anyone gets to dictate the height of your sky. You think your rage is too much. Good. Let it scorch the earth of everything that tried to bury you. You think your dreams are too loud. Good. Let them shatter the eardrums of those who told you to stay silent. You think your ambition is too vast. Good. Let it eclipse the sun until every shadow dweller who doubted you is forced to see what you're made of. This is not arrogance. Arrogance is believing you have nothing left to learn. This is defiance. Defiance against every force, internal and external, that has tried to convince you that playing small is a virtue. Defiance against the part of you that still cowers, still wonders. What if I'm too much? Too much for whom? For the mediocre? For the jealous? For the legions of souls too afraid to unleash their own untamed potential? Let them choke on your too much. Let them drown in your unreasonable. Let them gawk as you rewrite the rules of what a life can be. You've been taught to confuse cruelty with strength, to mistake brutality for power. But true power does not crush. It creates. It does not dominate. It elevates. Your titan is not a weapon. It is a forge, a relentless, unyielding force that turns pain into purpose, fear into fuel, and every no you've ever heard into a watch me. The titan does not seek applause. It does not crave trophies. It thrives in the silent, sweaty moments when you choose discipline over distraction, courage over comfort, legacy over laziness. It is the voice that growls, again, when your muscles fail. It is the resolve that hisses, try harder, when your mind begs to quit. It is the part of you that would rather die climbing than live crawling. They will call you selfish. They will accuse you of greed. They will mock your hunger as if wanting more, more joy, more impact, more life, is a sin. Let them. The titan knows that your liberation is not selfish. It is a revolution. Every time you refuse to apologize for your success, you give others permission to unchain their own. Every time you stand unabashedly in your brilliance, you become a mirror forcing the world to confront its own wasted potential. You think your light is yours alone? Foolish. You are a beacon, a signal fire, a lighthouse screaming through the fog. Here is what's possible. To hide your power is not modesty. It is sabotage. A theft of hope from those waiting for proof that giants still walk the earth. You want strategy? Here it is. Stop negotiating with your doubts. Stop rehearsing speeches for your critics. Stop donating your energy to people who would rather dissect your failures than confront their own. The titan does not waste time convincing ants to see mountains. It climbs. It conquers. It plants its flag where the air is thin, and the view stretches into infinity. You are not here to be understood. You are here to be unstoppable. To carve your name into the walls of history with the claws others said you shouldn't have. To leave a legacy so bold, so blinding, that the world has no choice but to squint. This is your awakening, your declaration of war against everything that ever made you feel like a guest in your own life. The titan is not coming. It is already here. It is the fire in your gut when you're done compromising. It is the thunder in your chest when you're finished explaining yourself. It is the unshakable knowing that you were born to shake the stars from the sky and remake them into something brighter. Stop apologizing for your power. Stop censoring your truth. Stop acting like you owe the world an explanation for taking up space. The titan does not apologize for the earthquake. It does not soften the volcano. It does not whisper. It erupts. Now, you erupt.